Welcome back to the podcast. This is Full Profits Podcast. My guest today is a content creator and an artist by the name of Reborns. Peace, how are you?
Hey, how are you, man? Thank you for giving me the chance to be part of this here, this interview. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thanks for getting on. Thanks for taking the time out to do it. So tell me where you're from.
Located in LA at the moment. So we live in LA, California with my wife and my daughter. Originally from Central America, born in Guatemala, but grew up partial life in New York, in Queens, and then now we're here in LA. So yeah.
Okay, how long did you live in Guatemala?
Just was born over there and then came over here.
Straight over, okay.
Yeah, my parents brought me months of birth. So basically US is what I know. This is my home, and Guatemala is just the place where I was born, pretty much. So yeah, it's not really I've gone over there and visited, but not really don't know much about it. So yeah.
So what was it like growing up for you in New York? How was that? How was that growing up?
Oh, in the 80s, the little bit of what I remember is, no Spanish,
Okay.
a lot of, Puerto Rican, a lot of Cuban, but they all spoke English. Really rare Hispanic people speaking Spanish at that time. We lived in the projects. So my dad was what would they call it over there? Super, I think that's what they call it over there. Basically he ran the five buildings, the
Okay.
project. Yeah, so that's
Yeah, that's
where
what they call him. From what I understand, they call him the super. Yeah, the superintendent or whatever.
so yeah, the super. So that this was in the 80s, so basically I was still a little kid. I barely remember, just being cold, and it's ridiculous cold. Compared to LA, you know what I mean? So yeah.
Were you the
But
only child growing up?
at that time, yes. Yeah, at the time, yeah. I already had a brother and I have a sister, but my sister was born in New York. It's funny because she was born in the street. So, that's crazy because, on her birth certificate, it's basically it says the streets, not the hospital. So it's kind of crazy. I still remember that in my head. Yeah.
So what around what age did you decide, or did you know that you were going to pick up a pen and start to draw, or a pencil and start drawing?
Very young age. I could say since New York, in my third grade, probably second grade, I really enjoyed it. I had an older cousin that he would draw a lot, and he was a little bit in graffiti at the time, he was, go out and catch tags, and he would take me with him, and kind of like that inspired me. Like when I will see him draw a lot of the X-Men, at the time he would draw a lot of X-Men, Wolverine, and I'll sit down right next to him and I'll like, admire his work. And then besides that, just drawing a lot in school, like that was like my main thing. I think I really enjoyed it at a really young age. So I love art before I even loved graffiti at the time,
Okay.
Yeah.
How good were you at graffiti? Did you ever get your own name, your own tag
Oh
name?
yeah. That's for sure. Here in LA, I started doing graffiti when I was 12.
Okay.
So, by the time I was 10, I think, or 9, we came to LA. So my father, he decided to bring the whole family because it was too cold over there in New York and he was tired of that. So he was like, you know what, let's just go to LA, and I have family over there, and let's just live a more warmer environment. So we came down, and I started seeing the gangs, because here in LA at that time, gang writing was the most popular thing. In New York, graffiti was like straight up from the 70s, the 60s, to the 80s when it really popped. But here in LA it was a little more different. It was more about gangs and gang writing, the style of gangs, like the dope cursive that they use at the time. And that kind of like inspired me to start, catching tags, but like a gangster, you know what I mean? Like gangster writing. After that, I just, started seeing more of like the bombs and the pieces and, other writers doing like more colors. And I was like, yo, this is what I want. This is fresh. This is something I really love and I really enjoy. I really love art. I just didn't know how to really express it at the time, So graffiti was kind of like the environment that gave me that opportunity, I guess. You know what I mean? Like that chance to say, like, hey, I'm here kind of thing. So that's how I really got into graffiti,
So growing up for myself, remembering the graffiti and tagging, it was frowned upon at a certain point in time by the law enforcement and by certain business owners. It was frowned upon. However, there was beauty in the art itself. But what I want to ask you is, did you enjoy getting chased or going back and recreating your tags and everything like that, your murals and everything?
It's amazing because a lot of people always ask, why you guys do it? Why this? Why that? There's a lot of purposes, a lot of, everybody has their own, their own reasons, you could say. A lot of the people is ego. A lot of people is like, fame, underground fame, a lot of people like just or a lot of people just love art, and want to express themselves and do it. For me, my point of view was two things. One, well, three, you could say. One is I always said, if my mom could read my name, I'm happy. And she did. That was dope because she'll call me when she see my name up and she'll be like, hey, I just saw your name up. You know what I mean? That was dope for me. And then two
That's
was,
pretty cool for your mom to actually know your name, huh?
yeah. If my mom will call me by my name. So Reborns is not my this is my you could say my second life, or you could say like a spiritual life now. You know what I mean? So now I call myself Reborns, but back in the days it was a different name, different graffiti name that I would bomb in peace and do a lot of like crazy stuff with, but that's like the old life that I used to live at back in the day. So I don't really kind of like, call myself that no more, just in the sense because, it just ties up to, things that I did that I really wasn't proud of, at the time, There was a lot of drugs, a lot of, crazy things like that in the streets, you know what I mean? Like it
I'm
was.
glad you said that. So during that time and that period, crack became a rampant thing in our communities. How were you able to keep yourself clean from that and just stay bombing and tagging and out the way of that? Because, the neighborhoods were pretty crazy at the time, right?
Well, here it was like in the 90s. 80s was more of the crack era, you could say, like early 90s probably. Once it hit nine in the mid 90s, it was crystal meth. So crystal meth was hitting hard in our era. Like I started doing drugs when I was probably at around that same time, 13, 14 years old. You know what I mean? And then I got hooked on crystal meth real quick. And then, I started like doing a lot of it and started bumming it, started being a junkie in the streets. So it was all about graffiti at the beginning of life, of everything, graffiti and art was everything for me, but there was a point in my life where it ended going down, you know what I mean? So it was not even about art no more. It was not about graffiti. It was not about hitting up anymore. It was more about my next fix. You know what I mean? So that was kind of that's when I started seeing my life just going down the hole, you know what I mean? Like it was not fun anymore for me
What
as
was
a guy.
your introduction to that? Like, how did you get started doing that?
Through a homie, so-called homie of mine, that we used to go to school with, and I was, he would do it a lot. I had a lot of friends that did coke. They were all doing coke at the time, but a lot of them were kind of a little skeptical on crystal meth because it was a little more like, stronger, more like, wild. So a lot of people were getting too hooked on it. So it was a friend of mine that I knew, which I don't even know if he's alive at this time. But yeah, he was like, hey, I got this, product, try it out. And he was like, it's gonna get you more creative, more like, it's, you're gonna get more inspired and this and that, And I always say, man, the devil is always around the corner and he's always looking at you and he's always trying to see what you could fall into, you know what I mean? Because he,
Absolutely.
you know what I mean? He doesn't want you to, step up your game. He doesn't want you to receive that blessing, you know what I mean? Like, so that's how it came into my life. So, when he introduced it, and then I tried the first time, and it just, that was it, man. I was like, I got hooked on it, like it was
And
like,
how were you when that, how old were you when that happened?
I could say probably like around 13, 14, man, around there that time, you know what I mean? And then I started hitting it really hard until like when I was like, by the time I was 18, by 17, 18, I was like living in the streets. Basically, 19, I was already like bumming it, like literally living in the bus stops, yeah, at that time. So it kind of got really bad for me, like really, really bad. Even though my mom always had a, always had a home where to come back to, but my mom always kept this man right here in prayers, and she always kept me in the loop, praying for me all the time, and she would always tell me, like, you have your house here, just come back home, we love you. But I didn't want them to see me that way, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of
That's a
like,
very, very young age to get hooked on it.
oh yeah, I used to do five drugs a day, but I'll do all types of drugs. And then alcohol, man, I had to drink my my 40, my Mickey, my like that was just like an everyday thing, like,
Wow.
smoke cigarettes. I'll smoke a pack of cigarettes most of the time. Like a full pack, and believe it or not, man, I was bumming it basically. So I had no job, I had nothing. So just put your mind, and say, where is he getting all this money from? to get his next fix, So it got a little bad, for a while,
Wow. So
So that.
you have this talent, but for some reason you get into drugs heavy and you're out in the streets bombing it and everything. Like, where are you at 12 or 13 years old? Are you hanging out? Where are you hanging out? What are you doing?
Going out at night, my parents were really strict, every time they caught, they caught me with like, with markers or, stuff like that. My mom would toss it, throw it in the trash. She would try to, I come from a really good family, like I come a nice family, I had my dad, my mom, I had everything. So, I can't really say that, because I was in a broken family or something. No, it was just a kid that did a bad decisions in life, and sometimes, hanging around with the wrong crowd sometimes make you, start doing things that you don't think is like, everybody's doing it, so you think it's cool. So, so, but most of the time everything was just, at school, but I was still live at home at that time. But once I started hitting like 17, 18, that was it for me. I was gone. I was out of the house, I was just, catching tags and writing and doing a lot of stuff. Yeah, I was bombing. And in the mid 90s, like 99, 98, 99, I was like rocking it hard, I was bombing it everywhere here in LA. So, I was doing a lot of dope,
So
everywhere.
now I'm kind of understanding the figurines, the drawings, the caricatures that you have. They're kind of infused with what you had going on at the time, huh?
Well, I've always drawn these characters just because I kind of feel like it's my kind of world, like human world in a sense, you know what I mean? Like all these faces that I do, they have these incredible expressions, just like seeing the world or the life in a different way, you know what I mean? Like, and then I put more joy, more how can you say, like for people to enjoy, like not just young kids or kids. I want, older people to enjoy it. I want anybody that sees my art, hopefully they enjoy it and they could like see that, like we're still a kid in us, you know what I mean? Like I still feel like a kid. I feel like a 15-year-old, like I still like I'll still go put like stickers up, like you know what I mean? I don't really do, like straight up graffiti anymore like I used to. But I put my stickers up, you know, like that's kind of like what I still do in a sense of just saying, hey, you know, like I'm still a, you know, a graffiti guy, a serial graffiti head, just, you know, older man when I'm married, but, you know, still doing what I love doing, you know. You know, but I see it in a positive and a different way now, you know, more like a marketing aspect, I could say, than just straight up like saying like I'm a graph writer, you know. I'm more of an artist now, you know, in a sense.
Okay.
So yeah.
So do you finish high school? Do you get through high school okay?
Nah, I dropped out of high school on my senior year. And then so at the age of 18, I just dropped out of high school because I was still in high school. So I never really finished high school. And then at the age of 21, I could say that's when I really did a change, incredible change. So, well, God did it in my life, basically. You know, so he came into my life and then he changed my life and restored me from everything that I was doing. And then put me to school, back to school, actually. So I could say, you know, thank the Lord for that, you know. So at the age of 22, I actually finished my high school, roughly. So at the age of 22, I finished my high school and then I went to college for, yeah, for communication arts.
Okay, communication arts. And what was your favorite thing, or what was your major illustration?
Well,
What did you get into?
I went for graphic design, but illustration was always my thing. Like, you know, drawing was always my strong thing that I really kind of like enjoyed. But graphic design kind of opened doors for me in the sense, like, you know, like I didn't know what I was getting into, you know what I mean? So I didn't know anything. Like, I didn't even know how to turn on the computer, you know. Believe it or not, I even my mom had to buy me some special pills because my memory, my brain was not all there. It was not functioning well because you know many years of drugs. So, you know, my writing, my reading, you know, my spelling, all of that kind of like was lost. So she bought me these medicines that would give me like it was like medicine for the brain, you know what I mean? So they start functioning more and more and more. So eventually, you know, a few years, I started getting normal again. So, but at the time, you know, I feel like I kind of got lost a little bit where we were at. My bad. I got into the different conversations, though. I don't know. My bad.
No. All right. So for you, what artists were inspirational enough to you to help you out? Like, where did you get some of your art style from?
Oh man, Keith Haring. I could say Keith Haring in the 80s, New York. I could say who else? Probably Cause. You know, he's from New York as well. A lot of inspiration from New York, San Francisco. I could probably say Twist, Barry McGee. These guys are like really dope graffiti artists that, you know, that became really successful as an artist, as artists, like famous artists, you know. So they kind of like inspired me to say, hey, these guys could, you know, do something in their lives and like, you know, they could, you know, do graffiti or art, you know, and make a living out of it. Why not me, you know? So that's like inspired me to do it, you know, to pursue art career. And believe it or not, I just started back again doing my career as an artist, like probably like 2 years now. I stopped for a very long time because I started a business. So, you know, I started a business with my brother and we started a printing company, a sticker company. So I focused so much my energy in that company that, you know, I kind of stopped doing my passion, which was art, you know, and so I told my brother, hey, you know what? I'm gonna get back into my art career and I'm gonna try to, you know, push it and try to get back into it. And yeah, so it's been 2 years that I've been in social media pushing it, you know, trying to, you know, get clients and, you know, projects.
So you get back on your feet, You get your GED, right? You go and do college. What was the name of the college again?
I went first to Brooks College and then I went into Art Institute.
Okay. So you graduate from the Art Institute. Yeah. And then what was the step for you? Did you say, all right, I'm gonna do this on my own now, or I'm gonna go and get into the business world of art?
I went into the basically well, when I graduated, the first job that I got was in a publishing magazine company. So I learned how to lay out a whole magazine. Excuse me. So I started being a production artist. So I started learning that, and then from there I met another graph writer, which he was my art director at that time. And he was what do you write? Kale from K2S. So he taught me how to do separation on t-shirts, how
Okay.
to design for t-shirts. So then I got into the clothing, I went into a silkscreen company after that job. And then I started doing all the designs and everything for, different clothing brands and schools, and I did that for a couple of years. Then I got into the world of printing. So inside in the world of printing, doing business card flyers. So I started doing like designs for that for a while, and then then eventually I was like, you know what? I don't want to be an employee. You know what I mean? Like I wanna be a boss, have my own schedule, try to, build something, a future for my family and, for all of us. So I told my brother, hey, you know what? Let's start a business. You go out there and hustle and get the clients. I'll do all the designs. I'll do all the, I do the website. I'll set up everything, and I'll do all the, and let's just split the profit, you and I, So that's how we started. We started in a trailer. I always say $1 in a dream because literally we only had $1.
I understand that. I definitely understand that.
So from there, we started building the company, we could say, a few years because we were on and off. We were just doing like a side hustle, a hobby kind of thing, a couple, a couple of bucks, here and there. But we landed a really big job with a big account, and the account gave us, the job and the project. And then that's how we were like, you know what, let's take this serious, because we bought a, our first machine, a printing machine. It was used, but we bought it. And then from there, it just, we started growing, during the pandemic. We actually started going online more often, more. So that's how, our company went skyrocket,
Okay. A young man I know printed some shirts. I think that's what he did. And he said, faith without hustle is dead. So when you guys stepped out there and did that, were you prepared to have that dollar in a dream and just do those jobs that were like $100 here and $100 there before you got to the big one that would pay you? You know, were you guys prepared for that?
We were willing to learn, because we don't know everything. So my brother, he hustles on his area, so he's more of like the production side of the business now, and I'm more of the marketing, the graphics, and like setting up everything, trying to, customer service kind of side of the business, and he does all like the back end. So he does all the printing, he does all the signage, because we do light boxes, we do signs, we do stickers, business cards. But you know what I mean, like. And then now we just got into t-shirts, so we just bought our DTF printing machine, so we're getting into the DTF industry as well. And it's a new,
When you say DTF, explain that.
Direct to film. Basically, we're gonna start selling on our website, by roll, so you could print as much as you want, and put them on t-shirts, and start your own, t-shirt company basically, or sell, or whatever you want to do, But that's what we do, or on-demand t-shirts for us as well. We're gonna start offering that as well. But every step of the way we've learned, through ourselves, because or asking around, But now people come to us and they ask for, help for us from us, So we try to help out other people as much as we can, So yeah.
All right, let's jump off into something different. Because you're an artist, all right? And I love art, and I love all types of art.
Right on.
Favorite cartoons growing up.
Oh man, favorite cartoons. Voltron.
Voltron. All right. Okay. So are we doing three or are we doing five?
What you mean?
Favorites.
Oh, let's go with three. Voltrons, obviously Transformers, and I could say my third one, probably G.I. Joe's.
Okay, Voltron, Transformers, and G.I. Joe's.
Yeah, because I had all of those when I was a kid.
Okay.
That
Okay,
was
classic shits right there. Classic
my.
shits.
I was in the era what is it called came out when Genesis came out, Genesis, and then when the other one Atari came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was a kid when those came out. It was like,
The
man,
other one was it ColecoVision?
ColecoVision. I don't remember that one. I don't remember hearing that one, to be honest with you. Oh, wait a minute. What about the pumps? Reebok
Oh, well,
pump.
now you done jumped off. You done jumped off into the shoe game. You done jumped off to the shoe
Yeah,
game.
no,
I
I
was just trying
know.
to talk about the cartoons.
Cartoons, yeah, but cartoons, those were my favorites, to be honest with you. But there's so many, man. In the 80s, there were so many really dope cartoons, to be honest with you. I really love cartoons a lot, but I think Voltron's was my number one until this day.
Okay. All right. So staying on the subject of that, a more adult and more mature set of animations would be the DC animations, right? Are you into those?
I watch the movies,
I'm not
but
talking about the movies. I'm talking about the animations. The
the
animations,
animations,
yeah.
not really, to be honest with you. I
Okay.
want to be honest with you. Yeah, not really. I
The
really
animations are pretty dope, man. I think you should, one of them that I personally like is Suicide Squad, Hell to Pay on Max.
Yeah, see, those are really never really gotten into those, any of the animations, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So back into the to Reeboks. Were you a guy with a shoe fetish? Were you big on shoes?
I mean, I love shoes, but couldn't afford them at
Okay.
that time, I remember just, seeing all those. I just remember it because, we're going back to the 80s, when all these things were barely coming out, they were popular at the time. Like now they're popular, but they're just remakes, Like they're just coming back again. But when you first see them for the very first time, everything, it's like, it's amazing, to be that one generation that you see all of that coming into life, or when the internet came out, or then the computers came out, all of that, like that's kind of like, because by the time I was 21, we were already doing designs on computers when graphic designers were doing it by hand. You feel me? Like the newspapers, they were doing it by hand. You know what I mean? They were laying it out by hand, and then they'll copy that and do hundreds of copies. Make sense? Now, like, with the computer and everything, like, everybody's just doing it on the computer on the screen. You can see how the layout is going to look like,
Yeah.
To me, that's admiring. That's like, wow, these guys put a lot of work into like, laying out everything by hand, or doing the fonts by hand. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. You know what I mean? Now we just type it in there and okay, it's cool.
What are your favorite pieces of work that you personally have?
That I have
Yeah.
of my art.
Yeah, yours.
I'm gonna probably say this guy right here.
Okay.
Just because this is my iconic face that I've been putting up on like in the streets. But in reality, like this is my personal work. And then I have my freelance work. You know what I mean? So my freelance work is basically like my client stuff. So those I really love a lot, like, because it kind of like it goes into different things, you know what I mean? So those are different a little bit, you know, because you know those are people's ideas, or you know, it kind of like, you know, makes me put myself in, you know, in their shoes and try to understand, you know, their concept and their idea, you know. For me, like, I freestyle these all the time, so these are like just
Okay.
free. Yeah,
Are
so
you? Go ahead, go ahead.
oh no, sorry, no, these are more easier in a sense, you know what I mean, like easier for me, just they just come out of my head and I just like them, you know. But when somebody is hiring me for a project, that's when the true creativity comes in, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Have you ever gotten into like your own animations? Or short skits like cartoonism on your YouTube channels, anything like that, flip books or
No,
anything?
to be honest with you, no.
Is that
No.
something that you would ever explore?
Maybe, right now, to be honest with you, what I'm more a little focused in trying to see if I could is get into kids' books.
Kids books. Okay, that sounds dope. I like that. I like
Yeah.
that.
I'm actually talking to somebody that is you know, hopefully they could kind of like, you know, school me into it, you know what I mean? Kind of like teach me, you know, the business out of it, you know, or how to get in myself in that industry, you know. So hopefully that kind of works out in a sense, you know.
Do you have any books already written down that you want to
No,
publish?
not of my own, but I have my own sketchbook, my own book. Let me see if I can find it. Give me one second, because my daughter plays around with them. Sorry, I shouldn't have them safe from the room. I don't know what they are. Oh, sorry about that. Let's see if I can get it. Actually, you know, they put it somewhere else. I do apologize for that. But I can show you my clothing brand. Let me get that. There you go.
I'm waiting on
Let
you to pop back in. I don't see you yet.
me see me. You see me right
I see you, but I don't see what the shirt that you're holding up. Okay.
me show you.
Got you.
That's my t-shirt that I working on. Yeah, I got books. I got books that I did, but I got sorry, I was not prepared for that. My apologies. But I want to show you probably some of my freelance illustrations, and hopefully you can see that here. Let's see. See that? See that?
Okay, I see it now. That's Saul. Let's play a game.
Yeah. So this is for a custom die-cut bag. You
Okay.
see? Yeah. So that's one of my recent ones that I just did for somebody, for a client. Let's see what else I can show you right here, real quick. That one.
Gotcha.
So that one right there is for a clothing brand.
Okay.
There. So see, you can see the kind of little bit more of the difference between my personal and, you know, the same style of illustration, you could say, but you know, it's a little different, you know. Yeah. But yeah.
So does for you business is pretty fluid year round, or is there like a point where it starts to go from a peak to a valley?
My illustration or my other business?
The other business.
I could probably say it's a roller coaster.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's times where we're like super busy. Like right now we're really busy, and there's months where like we're kind of like a little slow, but God is good and he always provides, at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Always provides. Always
Yes.
provides. And it's a beautiful thing to know that you to have a sense of self, but to also believe in a higher power and know that you can talk to that higher power and get help, and that your help, it may not come the way that you want it to, but the help, you will get the help that you're looking for in your time of
Yeah.
need. And it's a
For
beautiful
me,
thing to know that.
for me, at the end of the day, I know that everything comes from him.
Yes, sir.
So at the end of the day, I depend 100% on him. So whatever he wants to give me, he knows, he knows what he's gonna give me. So at the end of the day, until
And it's
this
real
day,
for you because of the situation that you come from and the things that you've been through.
correct. So at the end of the day, I could say, God to be the glory for everything until where I'm
Absolutely.
at. Like even the talent that I have, he's given it for me to survive in this world. You know what I mean? Like the ability to, learn, run a business, without even knowing how to really run a business. It's, learning through the process. I guess he's the one that teaches everything. So man, I'm just grateful, you know what I mean? Grateful for what I have, grateful for what I don't have, and grateful for what I will have. You know what I mean? At the end of the day,
All
But
right.
yeah, and I really, I'm grateful for this interview. This is a beautiful thing as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. I grew up in Chicago. I'm from Chicago. I live in Chicago right now.
Right on.
A lot of places to go for food, right? Too many places to go for food. We got places to go for Cuban, Mexican, all that Thai.
Nice.
Jamaican, Ethiopian, all types of food, Senegalese, everything is out here. Where do you go to try different places for food out there?
We eat a lot of Thai food. I love Thai food, Korean food.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I really love a lot of I love Indian food as well,
Oh,
just
all right, all right.
that certain aspect. My wife, we really enjoy eating a lot of like soups. So we also a lot of ramen soups. Yeah, like a lot of like Japanese soups. We love those. We go to different restaurants and we just try. We were like, hey, let's try this one. Let's go. And we figure it out and see. When we're there, we're like, we have no idea what to order. We just order, and we try it out and we enjoy it, and go to the next one, I guess,
Absolutely, absolutely. It's always good to check out a new restaurant,
Yeah,
expand your palate.
definitely. It's like I want to start traveling too. Like, I want to go to, I haven't gone to New York myself after we came back, after we came here in LA. So, hopefully, with my wife and my daughter, I want to take them to New York, and I want to just, show them where I kind of grew up a little bit, and teach them, show them a little bit of New York City as well. She wants to go to the, Statue of Liberty and all of that. She hasn't gone to see that, so
It's all about
really.
scheduling yourself a trip there.
Oh yeah.
Do you have a lot of family there?
I have only one family relatives, my aunt and their kid, her kids.
That's
But
it.
yeah, that's it.
So everybody else is out in Cali.
Basically, yeah. We're all in here in Cali now. It's like they don't like the cold. We don't like the cold,
Let me say
bro.
this, I don't like the cold either, but I deal with it. And over the
Yeah.
past few years, the winters here have gotten milder, so it's a lot easier to deal with.
I bet. Oh, that's good. That's really good. That's really good. I mean, I guess you grew up there, you know what I mean? So that's kind of like a really cool thing, because that's in you're used to that, in a sense.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like if you come to Cali, you're gonna probably feel like weird, the winter time here, and I'll be like, it's nothing compared to what I was over there,
Okay. You a guy that's big on sports? You a sports lover?
Not really.
Come on,
No.
man. You don't like sports, man?
No, man. Not really a sport guy, dude. Never
Shame on
like,
you.
man, my life has always been about graffiti and art. That's my passion. That's always been like sports. I mean, you know what? I'm not too great at it, And I don't really know much of it, but I do enjoy watching UFC,
That's some good shit right there too. I love UFC.
And I really would love to go to a live one, but in Vegas. If
You want to see this in a sphere? I would like to check out something there too, man.
Well, my brother is really into it, so he's really like he could name you like all the fighters and all that, but like he's wanna go too as well. So, but they get it pretty expensive. So, like look at the Dodger games right now. Those things are expensive right now.
Yeah, and it's a winning team as well, so it's gonna, those ticket prices are gonna be crazy for a while.
Yeah, they're over
For
$1,000, and then the closer ones are like $3,000
a
a
while.
seat. Jeez. Nah, too much.
Yeah,
I
that's
don't really,
tough. That's
unless
tough.
I start charging my, 3,000 for each one of these characters, then.
You're gonna have to. You're gonna
You
have
know
to,
what I
or
mean?
more. Or more, you're gonna have to do it. You're gonna have to do it.
Yeah.
For you growing up, were you into hip hop?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I'm gonna ask you this question then.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I gotta ask you. I gotta ask you. I gotta ask you. Can you name your favorite, your top three hip hop albums?
Albums. Oh
Yeah.
man. I'm gonna say when I was hearing, worldly hip hop, you could say, because now I hear Christian hip hop. I'll probably gonna say man. Yep. I don't know the
This is why my questions are impromptu or abrupt, because if I give you the listing before we get on here, this interview would be 20 minutes. Now that you got to sit here and struggle and think about it. And that's the best part of it. You got to
To be
sit here
honest
and
with you,
cook.
I'm gonna be honest with you. The names of the albums, I don't recall them too much, but I'm gonna tell you the rappers, right? You gotta know that obviously Tupac.
All right, so Tupac got quite a few albums.
Yeah. All Eyes on Me.
All right, okay, we can do that.
Yeah, All Eyes on Me. I'm gonna say from East Coast. I'm gonna say from East Coast. Obviously, you gotta go with Biggie Smalls as well. I really enjoy Biggie Smalls. His lyrics were really dope too. That one would probably be I think that was his last album, Ready to Die. Was it
No, that was the first one.
or the first one? Yeah, okay. Been a long time. Now the other one I'm gonna probably say really old school. I don't know the title of it though, but oh, which other one? Sorry, before I forget, and I don't remember who were the singers, but I used to hear it so much and I used to love it. It was pump, pump and jam, pump, pump and jam. Stomping. That right there, dog. That was
You were
a
listening
killer.
to that album or to that song?
That song specifically, but yeah, like I remember that one. Like,
Interesting.
you know what I mean? I was a kid. I still remember it. And then the other one was obviously LL Cool J. Mama's gonna knock you out. Those were like, when I was a kid, you hear that, But that was pretty much like I was not really like how can you say that I was not really the type of person that would like a
You weren't
fanatic.
big. Yeah, you weren't big on hip hop music like that.
Yeah. I love hip hop, but I was not like fanatic, like that
Gotcha.
was everybody's, music and all that. Now Christian rap right now, I'm gonna tell you, I hear a lot Brian T. I think he's from Chicago. Brian T. And then there was a time where I hear a lot of Lecrae. I don't know if you heard of him.
I've heard of Lecrae. Yeah,
Lecrae.
I'm familiar with
A
Lecrae.
lot of his older albums I really like. Who else? There's this other guy I really like, KJ52. He's not really known,
Okay.
but
That's a new one to me. I haven't heard that one.
yeah, KJ52. He actually send a song to Eminem because he sounds like Eminem.
Oh,
So
wow.
he's a white guy, but you know he sounds like and it's funny because he just hit me up on my Instagram, and he was like, "Hey, I love your work." You know, I was like, "Oh," and it was like him. You know, I was like, "Oh, cool." You know, I'm like, "Hey, I'm really a fan of you. You know, I really like your music." You know, and he was, "Oh, thanks." You know, but now he's like he don't really rap that much no more. He's like a pastor now, so.
Okay.
But yeah, those are
Since
some
you
people.
spoke on that, what else, who are some top, who are some people that you would like to do commissions for?
Good question.
I try.
I'll probably say big brands, probably. I could probably say man, if Dior will come and knock on my door, that would be great. You
Who?
know, Dior,
Okay.
you
Okay.
know, Louis Vuitton, or like, you know, Gucci, or any of these brands that are, you know, into illustration, my style, and they want to put it in their brand, I'm really down for that, you know. I think those are the brands that I would like, you know, be interested in. Maybe Supreme,
Okay.
know, in the clothing industry, you could say, you know, or
Okay.
like, I'm really big fan of purses. And it's funny because I would love to see a lot of my work in women's purses. You know what I mean?
Okay. Interesting. I didn't expect to hear you say that, but that's different.
I really
What is it that makes you want to jump into that area, that medium?
the exclusivity, you could say, limited edition. Leather, you know what I mean? Style, you could say, fashion, like, and obviously women love to spend on purses.
Very
You
much
know,
true.
so and it's a nice market for, you know, for a luxury brand, you know, a luxury brand. Like for my brand, I would love to do all of that, you know, like not just men, you know, I would like to do, you know, female of my brand, you know,
Okay.
eventually. Oh, it's just a vision and a dream that I have, you know, hopefully someday it'll pick up, you know, eventually. But I've been so focused on the other businesses that I kind of like, you know, put that a little bit on the side, to be honest with you, at the
Okay.
moment. Yeah.
Are there any other artists that you would like to collaborate with?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of like well-known artists you're talking about, or
No,
you're
it's
talking.
just what the artist that you want to. I'm not telling you it has to be some big name person, but the artist that you would like to do collaborations with.
I think one of the artists that I will definitely love to will probably be Barry McGee. And then I'll probably do who was at the time in my I really have a lot of respect for OG Slick. I don't know if you heard of him.
But
Okay.
kind of, sort of, it sounds familiar.
He does the LA hands like that.
Okay.
Actually, I have a lot of I collect a lot of so I collect a lot of art. So I have a lot of art in here, you know, like canvases and vinyl toys. Hold on, let me see. See
Okay.
that one? So that's this is one of his let's see here. There you go. That gives you a better show my face. Let me check out the toys. Or maybe you probably seen this the LA one. Really popular. This guy is pretty popular.
Okay.
So right now he's doing a New York one, actually. So he's coming out with the New York one. But this is the LA Hands. Really popular. See that?
Okay.
Really dope artist. Graffiti artist. And who else? Maybe Revoke. I think I'll do some with a Revoke.
Okay.
Yeah, really cool artist as well.
Okay.
There, I think Revoke is he's from MSK here in LA. In LA. Who else? To be honest with you. I think that's pretty much right now at the moment, top of my head.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any shows coming up? Any showcases?
I have one it's a group show, so there's gonna be multiple artists in
Okay.
it. It's gonna probably be in Long Beach, I think, next month.
Okay.
And well, I'm still talking with the guy that is coordinating it. Which I have to send him an email again, reply back to him.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably the next art show, you know, in a sense that I probably have right now. Yeah.
All right.
Besides that, yeah, that's I mean, everything else is more illustration projects that I have right now at the moment. So I gotta actually right now after I finish this interview, I gotta put myself back into creative mode.
Okay. Okay, I hear you. I
I got
hear you.
like three projects I gotta finish up tonight. I usually go to sleep at around 1 o'clock in the morning, finishing up. Yeah.
And since you said that, what's your turnaround process? Do people ever ask you about that?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Usually I take 3 or 4 business days to do the first illustration sketch,
Okay.
which would be like just a really quick sketch showing you how it's gonna look like, you know. With those three that sketch, you have three revisions included on the price. And then if you do more than those three, then it'll be like an additional cost for each sketch. I mean each vision. Once you approve the sketch, there's no more changes on the actual sketch. So basically that would be the layout. That's how it's gonna look like. From there, it's gonna be 2 to 3 business days for the final rendering, with color and everything, in detail.
Gotcha.
And then after that, everything is through email. So both parties, have record basically, and there is no miscommunication whatsoever. And then proof that the project was done. Once you approve the final rendering, we I'll provide all the original files, in a link. Yeah.
Oh, so you guys stay busy, huh?
Try, man. I
Shit.
try. I
Definitely.
tell my wife, like, yeah, sorry, I have to work, I have to hustle,
Okay.
Every $100, help
It
out.
counts.
You
It
know what
counts.
I mean?
It counts. You got to keep those coming in.
Because bills don't stop,
They don't. They
rent
don't.
don't stop. So,
Got to keep going.
it's funny because a lot of, I get a lot of messages on Instagram where like they're like, oh, you're too expensive, or like I could get these for like $25. I'm like, go for it,
Yeah, like don't tell
you
me you
know.
can get the product I have. Don't tell me you can get it cheaper elsewhere. Go over there and get it. Don't bother me. Don't bother me. My price is set because my price is set. I work hard enough. I do this. It looks easy to you because I have years and years and years of doing it, but the price I have is the price I have.
Yeah, it's like that story. I don't know if you ever heard of that Picasso story, where he was sitting down at a coffee shop, and then this lady that shows up, and he's like, "Oh, you're Picasso," and he was like, "Oh yeah, can you draw me real quick?" And Picasso draws her like less than 10 minutes, I think, or whatever. And then he's like, "Okay, it's $1,000." And she's like, $1,000, why so much? You only spend it 5 minutes on it or 10. And Picasso goes like, no, I spend it a whole lifetime.
Oh yeah. Picasso was right when he said that. You know, she asked for a painting. He did the painting in 10 minutes, right? You're not paying for the 10 minutes that I put into this drawing. You're paying for the thousands of hours that I put into it to get it in 10 minutes. That's what you're paying for. You're not paying for a 10-minute drawing. You're paying for all the time and effort and energy that I put into this craft, you know,
Correct.
and
Correct.
some people just don't understand that, you know.
And they're so.
Michael Jordan made that jump shot look wicked because he did that a million times. Steph Curry has done that at least a million times since he was 5 years old. You know,
Imagine that.
we're talking about endless shooting, endless drills every day,
Nonstop.
nonstop. So when y'all get on TV, so when you see him on TV and you see him hitting these shots and you're going, yo, that's too easy for him. It should look easy to you. But that took years of crafting and years of working on and years of doing that over and over and over and over again.
That's correct. Yeah, that's so
Yes,
true.
sir.
You know, that's where we're at right here, you know. So making the craft, you know, doing better and better and trying to, I mean, every project I do, you know, I try to do it as best I can for my client so they could get admired. You know what I mean? Through that. You know what I'm saying? They'll be like, oh, that is fresh, dude. Like, you know, I like your product, you know, like I like your packaging. That's dope. You know what I mean? You know, and a lot of them message me telling me that, like, hey man, people, you know, giving me props for what you did, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. I appreciate that, it makes me feel like, okay, I did a good job, I'm doing a good job, you know, for even though my name is not on it or anything, but you know, I just feel good that that client is happy, you know, and hopefully they come back to me or you know they spread the word after that,
100%,
you know.
100%.
Yeah, because I always think of like, hey man, if you grow, I grow. So if your business grows, I'm growing with you no matter what, because my work is in your product. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, that just helps me out too. So.
I'm gonna tell you what my buddy Jimmy said. He said, lighting your candle won't hurt mine at all. It'll just create more light in the room.
That's right.
It don't take nothing away from my candle to help light yours, you know?
That's right. That's what it is. That's smart mentality, you know. Unfortunately, not everybody thinks like that, you know. Unfortunately, a lot of people are selfish, stingy, you know. They only think about themselves, you know. Unfortunately, you know,
Yeah.
and no matter what, at the end of the day, we all have to help each other out some way, somehow, you know. You know, by you interviewing me. I appreciate your time and you know the effort of calling me and letting me you know be part of this and you know it's gonna help me out some way somehow and it's gonna help you out some way somehow you know
Yeah.
so,
So at some point in time, you know, but we're gonna keep on grinding and getting to it.
That's
Going
right.
through it and getting to it, I should say.
That's right.
Is there a message you would like to leave, a message of inspiration or anything that you need to say, or a message you would like to leave before we get out of here?
Yeah. Just do what you love doing, follow your passion. Everything else comes into play, but overall, you know, look up at the sky. The true one is always watching us. That's pretty.
Word, Big Bird. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, we will end it right here. Remember the mission statement when you're striving for greatness. God never puts you in the driver's seat if it's taken. Sir, I appreciate you jumping on the podcast with me. Have an excellent day, afternoon, or night.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Stay in contact with me always. You know what
I
I mean?
will. I
Thank you
will.
so much for the time. I appreciate it. And thank
Yes.
everybody for watching this.
Yes, sir. God bless.
God bless. Peace.